Hello, Market Watcher. I'm David Ravel, and this is ValueSide for Wednesday, January 19. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit ValueSide.com. Today, Professor McGolrick looks at today's corporate leverage. Just ahead. Well, the year was 1972. And I was studying at the New York Institute of Finance, preparing for a career in finance. My principal professor was Charles McGolrick. McGolrick was one of the colorful characters who filled Wall Street in those days. As a young man, he had seen the destruction of the great stock market crash of the 1920s and the ensuing depression. I was fortunate to meet several survivors of the great crash, but Professor McGolrick was the most verbal of the bunch. To a man, all of these Wall Street veterans had a visceral reaction to one thing, leverage. It was a gut-level loathing of companies and individuals who got in over their heads by borrowing too much. To this generation, it was excessive leverage that was the chief cause of the Depression. They would spend hours regaling us with stories of those who had built their castles on mountains of debt, only to become worthless wretches when things turned south. Now, McGolrick's classes were centered on securities analysis, and in looking at any company, the first thing that he would do is turn to the back of the annual report and review the balance sheet. Ignore all that stuff in the front, he'd say. It's just marketing fluff. The meat and potatoes are back here with the numbers. And the very first number that we would look at is, as you guessed, the company's debt. Too much debt would be the end of any further analysis by McGolrick. A company should have less than half of its total capitalization as debt, preferably much less debt. Now, it's an exercise that I like to continue up to today. So yesterday I got out the financial reports on some of the market's leaders just to see how their debt picture looks today. You see, I've been curious about the reason why the high flyers in the market seem to be so interest rate sensitive. Every time we see indications of rising interest rates, as we did yesterday when the bonds floated up to a higher yield, we also see some of the market-leading stocks take a dive, just like we saw yesterday. And I have to tell you, I was surprised at how much management of some of the nation's largest companies have leveraged up their balance sheets. Now, two of the big five have managed to hold their borrowings under control. Both Alphabet Google and Facebook Meta would meet Professor Golrick's criteria with their debt well below their equity. They both passed McGolrick's test. But the rest, well, the rest are in trouble. We begin with Microsoft. This company is pretty consistent in that it's always carried a fair amount of debt. But the company that really surprised me was Apple Computer. If memory serves, up until just recently, Apple had virtually no long-term debt. Well, that's changed big time, as CEO Tim Cook has become a real devotee of stock buybacks, essentially converting the company's equity into debt. And that might be fine when interest rates are at historic low levels and debt costs very little. But that's changed now, and with four times more debt than equity and interest rates now rising, I don't think it'll be long before Mr. Cook and Apple Computer begin to feel the heat. Next comes Amazon, again a company that has always carried a lot of debt, but they're doing something now that is quite different, and I believe it deserves special attention. Amazon carries very little long-term debt, only about one-third the level of their equity, and this would be good news, except that they now carry nearly $200 billion in various forms of short-term debt. Now, I understand that this is because they have a tremendous amount of inventory to finance. And as any retailer, this could be the reason. Still, this is a tremendous amount of overall leverage, and as Amazon's overall debt now equals twice their equity. Well, it's been nearly 100 years since young Charlie McGolrick entered Wall Street, another roaring 20s where the markets were also hot. and companies have divided themselves into two groups. One, the old-fashioned kind, like somewhat surprisingly, Alphabet, Google, and Facebook Meta. They have both elected to raise capital by selling ownership in their company, common stock, which has no payments due nor maturity deadlines. The others, however, have chosen the more aggressive road. They've borrowed for most of their capital, something which requires timely interest payments and ultimately must be paid back in full. This leaves more for management and more for what few shareholders remain, but in that great financial crisis of a century, it was precisely these types of companies that often did not survive, just like Professor McCulloch predicted. Now, in economic news this morning, Great Britain has just announced the highest level of inflation for their country in 30 years. It came in at a 5.4% inflation rate. Shortly, we'll get our own reading on real estate. With new home constructions the focus, it's expected that both housing starts and new building permits should maintain their strong performance. In earnings this morning, headlining will be United Health Group, followed by the Bank of America. Now, I really don't know why Bank of America did not report yesterday as they were scheduled. Also up today are brokerage house Morgan Stanley and Procter & Gamble. And that's the value side for this Wednesday, January 19. For all of our podcasts and blog posts, visit valuesign.com. I'm David Revell. ValueSide is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.